Sleet David, the World Series of Poker, the break in the 3K 6-handed no limit. I'm here with Igor Kurganov. Igor, you just arrived, right? Why the late start? Any particular reason?
Hi. Yeah, I like to generally not stay too long in Vegas during the series, otherwise you become a bit drained for the big events and blah, blah, blah. So I concentrate on them and just, I don't know, rather have a holiday beforehand, which I did, which was great.
Where have you been? Anywhere interesting?
The British Virgin Islands for a bit, and that was good because it was a non-poker vacation, and that doesn't happen too often nowadays anymore, but it's always good to put that one in.
Are you the type of person who sometimes allows poker to consume you, or have you got a good distance and a good balance in your life?
I would want to be the one who has the good balance and distance, but I am sometimes, but in other times I like to, generally when I get into something new, so a year ago I got into Heads Up, for example, and then I like to just learn more about it and think about it more often. But actually with other projects, other things that I've started to do aside of poker now, it's comes fairly easy to not think about poker and just, I don't know, think about ethics or startups or investments or something.
I guess it's a catch-22 situation, isn't it? Because I was talking to Talal Shakurchi the other day over dinner and said to Talal, in order for Talal to have been as successful as he is, he must have had to make a lot of sacrifices to just concentrate on business, and he said that he did. Same in poker, right? You can't just turn up and just don't do any learning and hope that you win. So balance does become really important, right?
Yeah, you only can hang on for a fairly short amount of time if you don't learn and if you don't keep yourself focused on just your mind and body and your poker skills. I think everyone goes through these sacrifices, and in the end, though, it's a question if it is a sacrifice, because you can look at it as well that you're just timing it differently. At this stage in your life you do that, so that in the other stage of your life you can focus on other things. Now Talal has more freedom to enjoy poker, which is a great hobby of his and his family, than he used to have with his fund before.
Yeah. I read Peter Singer's most recent book. Mm-hmm. Can't remember what it was called.
The Most Good You Can Do. Right.
And Philip gets a mention in there as an effective altruist who is doing some wonderful work in the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fantastic for poker, right?
That he gets a mention by Peter Singer, I think. I mean, the poker world hasn't really seen it, I think. So, but
I'm trying my best to write about it.
Yeah. It would be good. I think that like putting that out in the popular media sphere would be good for poker, because it changes the image of poker from this pure gambling addiction type thing where drunks and druggies play, to something that just is entertainment, or entertainment for the mind, like just like a strategy, interesting strategy game. And this is, I think, where we want to go with, and Alex Dreyfus, I think, is doing as well some important work towards that with the soon launch of the GPL, which is going to kind of take poker out of the gambling world and more make it into a just interesting strategy sport, kind of like mind sport, like chess. And I think it has potential towards that, and I would like for that to be used. And one side that needs to happen for that is definitely as well seeing those players that they can do some good, maybe even the most good they can do.
Where are you on that journey, the effective altruism movements, philanthropy? Mm-hmm. Where are you? Where's your state of mind? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking about these days?
I have been on the journey now for, like, at least time-wise, about 2 years. And it's fine. That's the downside of the whole poker area. There's always people around. But it's as well an upside, because you get to densely see so many people in a short time, right? It's kind of good. I guess I was always interested in that whole area to some degree. My whole life.
Newts plays a blind draw next hand. Two blinds, quarter, Andy, 150, 300. Court, 153, 3 Andy, sack.
I was always interested in altruism, or in thinking about how we can have more people feel well, just in general, be it just increasing their mindset or that. So I read Buddhism early, like some works, and I stumbled upon effective altruism about 2 years ago. So I'm fairly in the beginning of that, of the understanding of all the ideas that come with it. Since it's still a very, very much an evolving subject as well, and one of the things which is currently evolving is the thought of what are the really the most impactful causes, and we need to do some good today. We need to attack some of the problems that are happening to poor people or animals today, but as well, we need to kind of create a platform for the future us's having a better idea and being able of a platform for the future us to create, to be able to make better decisions, because when we will have gathered more knowledge, we will make even better decisions how to spend the money. And this is kind of an argument for maybe not spending all of it right now, but as well creating this platform, and this would be then spreading the idea of compromise being very important, or just general philosophical discourse. And that I'm currently more interested in, like looking at these other factors aside of direct help, kind of the indirect help over time.
About the possibility of the future, this type of way of thinking, this practical ethics, being taught at a lower level in school, because when you go through high school or in the UK comprehensive school, you don't talk about philosophy, you don't have lessons in that, you get to choose that much later on, but by that time your values and your beliefs are very ingrained and they're very difficult to lodge. Have you ever thought about that before?
Yeah, I have thought about the school system, of course, as many of us a few times, seen as well Waiting for Superman as an interesting documentary on that. And I do believe that it will change a bit towards the subjects being more about creating a person that can then make rational decisions with their lives, rather than giving them information about an area which they will never be interested in, but only serves the purpose of them showing that they are capable of learning, which is kind of how many things currently are. And Elon Musk, for example, talks as well about how he has created a school for his children and a couple of others, and where there is no grades and there is not like classes according to age, but more of the interest you have and how deep you have progressed on the path of that interest. And that seems like a good idea, because it's encouraging children to want to learn more, and that's I think something that we will develop the school system into, hopefully in like 10 to 20 years. And then topics like how to withstand scarcity or how to withstand tough situations are maybe going to be somehow taught, so like a rational of the mind a bit more, and not just...
It's difficult.
I don't know, but there are ways. I mean, there are schools of that. There is, for example, this one charity that we're supporting as well, CIFAR, Center for Applied Rationality, and they have rationality workshops. So it's a skill which is very important, but it's something that you can teach as well. By going over these biases, for example, saying, hey, when you think about something being 100-fold or 10,000-fold, in your mind it seems like it's the same, because you can, like, scope and sensitivity is one of those biases. So if you teach people these, then they can make better decisions for themselves, and I think that would be something which is very worthwhile. And we're teaching that too indirectly. We would now say that, yeah, maybe math is teaching us that, and like in chemistry you need to use logic, but it's not just about the what logic means as much. And I think that would be a bit more helpful.
I have a 14-year-old son who's, like most 14-year-old kids, very materialistic, you know, and he's like that in the main, not just because of society, but that's the way I raised him. And now that I've changed, I find it incredibly difficult how to influence him or guide him or expose him to different ways of thinking. I feel the need to push, which is wrong.
Right. You know? Yeah, I mean, one of the ways I assume which you're doing is kind of by being a good example.
Being a role model.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And talking
hopefully
about
he will,
what I do with my money and why I do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully he will strive to that then as well, right? But I can see what you mean, but it's hard, of course, for the kid itself where they're like in this phase of trying to establish themselves as persons now.
To then take
away these things, how they have established themselves, which are partly materialistic, and then taking them away seems to them that now they're losing themselves a bit, or they would in comparison to others, and they don't want that. So, like dealing with loss, maybe, etc., is something that could be very worthwhile as well.
He's dealing with his own tribe, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
This is how all my friends behave, and mm-hmm. if I behave any different than that, I might not be in this tribe anymore.
It's
very difficult.
And that's it's the fear of that, and the kind of, which is why experiences like a huge downswing in poker can be so good, like losing all the money you have, maybe even, because you then understand, hey, I've lost this, but I still made it through, and I understand that I can still be happy disregardant of that. And the same will be true as well if, I mean, I cannot give any parental advice at all, because I'm very far off.
I think you will be a very good father, though.
Thanks.
When you get there.
Maybe we'll be, yeah, we'll try, right? But maybe we'll be over-talking to the children, and they will be fed up with that.
One very quick question, and I'll let you go. Outside of poker, if I was to say to you, use the word success, who's the first person that springs to mind and why?
First person now on everybody's mind would be, I guess, Elon Musk. He is just such an extremely hard worker. It's been said that he's working every week 100 hours, and he's achieving maybe the most important things for humanity. Aside of that, it's not far off to think of figures like Jesus or some that have just spread very good mindsets or like very good ideas. That's a very successful and important thing as well. Someone like Eckhart Tolle as well. I mean, how much the ideas he has spread have influenced people. He's been definitely successful with his ways, and I think that's a very important thing that he has done. Elon Musk, for his own self, might not be as successful in the way that I can imagine that he has many hardships in the day. It's very hard. I don't know how exactly happy he is, but he's definitely creating so much good for others. So it's...
Igor, always a pleasure to talk to you. I wish I had more time, but I'll let you
go.
And I wish you all the best for the rest of the series.
Absolutely. Happy to talk to you as well.